Hey everyone, welcome to the Winnipeg Sports Talk post-game reaction. I'm your host, Michael Remus, be joined by Connor Rabchak in just a second. So pumped to be here late on a Friday night. I guess it's technically Saturday morning now. We're talking about the Winnipeg Jets' 6-2 loss in Game 3 of their first round series against the Colorado Avalanche in the 2024 Stanley Cup playoffs. Coming into the game, a couple big storylines. Can Connor Hellebuyck be Connor Vezinabuck? Line two, need them to get on the board. Nate Schmidt steps in for Logan Stanley. And on the Av side, goaltending, will it be an issue for them? Doubters were silenced in game two. They put Nikushkin on the top line instead of Zach Parise. And Sam Girard got back into the lineup after missing the first two with injury. Connor, what's going on? How are you doing here on this Friday night into Saturday morning?
I'm doing good. I feel like there's better ways to spend a Friday night and into a Saturday morning, but we are here nonetheless. And 6-2 loss, Jets now down 2-1 in the series. A lot to take away from this game and going into Sunday.
Yeah, certainly not out of it. I mean, 2-1, you get win a game and you're back in. And before we get into the game, you know, before the game, I do have to say they had a really nice tribute to Bob Cole. We've seen so many wonderful tributes from many people in media since learning of his passing yesterday. And Hustler and I talked about that on the show. I tweeted out the clip. My personal favorite was the Joe Sakic 0-2 winner. I don't know if you're too young for Bob Cole, Connor, if you had a Bob Cole memory, if you want to share one here before we get into the game.
Well, I won't say a memory. I will say I'm too young for that. I'm not too young to know like who he was and like what he sounded like. I do remember him calling calls and stuff like that, but a lot of his legendary calls did come before I was born and things of that nature. But I did like the play-by-play moment of silence that they did at the start of this game.
That was cool.
Kind of honoring him. Yeah, that was really cool. Was just saying like, we're just going to listen to the sounds of the game he loves and just have silence. I thought that was a really nice way to tribute him. And they did well on that part. And yeah, Bob Cole, obviously an absolute legend, the best of the best.
Yeah, so that was, yeah, and we're going to be seeing that all weekend on Hockey Night in Canada, or Rogers, Sportsnet Hockey, whatever they call it now. But for the Jets, yeah, the puck drops and you're listening with no commentary. And I thought for the first 5 minutes, the Jets were playing Winnipeg Jets hockey. You know, there weren't a lot of shots on goal from either side, and that was something we hadn't really seen differently. And, you know, they were getting some pressure. Adam Lowry had a chance. Appleton from shot it at the side of the net, bounces in front of Appleton, couldn't jam it in. Monahan had a wraparound. But I thought the Jets, you know, got out to the type of game that we've seen from them. And it was kind of just similar that they weren't able to bring that type of game for the full 60.
Yeah, a good start. And, you know, it's game three. It's the first home game of the series for the Avalanche. You'd expect them to come out with some jump. But yeah, like you said, it was low event. The Jets definitely wanted that. The rest of the first period, I don't know if it stayed that way. I think it ended up tilting in Colorado's favor a little bit. Maybe you saw that jump. But yeah, the initial start to the game, I thought the Jets actually had a few good chances. I remember Monahan had a wraparound chance that went right through the crease. Like they had some chances to score there. So a good start. And then, yeah, Colorado ends up scoring and the first period's more in their favor.
Yeah, I mean, after 7 minutes, shots were pretty low, 3-3. I think, through the first half of the first period, the last couple, someone has had a big advantage. And yeah, it seems like the Avalanche got their skating legs going. I thought Casey Mittelstadt, who I keep confusing with JT Compher, who wore the same number a couple years ago for the Avs. I mean, he looked really good. He had some chances. I mean, anytime Nathan McKinnon had the puck, it's scary for moment for the Jets. So much speed. He went off the post, you know, just skating past Niederreiter and Pionk. And Arturi Lehkonen has been dangerous all series as well. You know, the Jets, you know, were able to figure it out at the end. I thought Nate Schmidt, who came in the lineup, you know, was on a rush. He had a backhand shot. Mark Scheifele had a chance. They finished strong in that first period, and you thought it would carry over to the second. What did you think of Nate Schmidt's game coming in and for his first playoff action this year?
I thought he played well, and I really liked the move to put Schmidt in over Stanley. There was conversations on WST all week, and I agreed with them that I think the Jets really struggled with the Avs forecheck, and that didn't really change in this game. Like, the Avs forecheck was still really good, but I think you have a better chance of Nate Schmidt kind of alleviating that pressure than you do Logan Stanley on the third pair. And I think the biggest upgrade in all of that is having Dylan Sandberg slide back to his natural side on the left side. I thought he played a lot better. He even played well in the penalty kill. The Jets, like, what can you really do on the penalty kill? We'll get into that in the third period with the Avalanche scoring so many goals with the man advantage. But I thought that third pairing played great, especially for the first two periods. And I liked the move to put Schmidt in. And I thought it actually benefited the Jets, at least for the first 40 minutes of this game. And then the third period, kind of everything fell apart.
Yeah, I think it's hard to make any sweeping conclusions on the third period. They played really well in the first two.
Totally.
You mentioned they got on the board first. Arturi Lehkonen finds Zach Parise as a drop pass to Casey Mittelstad to Parise, and just some really nice passing at the blue line, which reminded me a lot of Lehkonen's goal in the last game, where it was McKinnon, Makar, and Taves. It's just inside the blue line. They do some quick drops and quick passes there to open up a room, and they throw a shot on goal, and Zach Parise puts it in. And this was kind of a matchup. Just the Colorado depth versus the Jets depth. And we talked about the Jets second line needing to get on the board. They hadn't scored coming into the game, but Zach Parise now with two goals in the series, and they put Colorado on the board, and it's 1-0. 1-0, Colorado scores first. I don't know what you saw on that goal.
Yeah, the Avs jump out to the 1-0 lead, like I mentioned, and you talked about the depth there, and we'll get into the second period where the second line finally got on the board. Mm-hmm. But that's a area where the Jets hadn't been taking advantage of the Avs in this series, and they needed to going forward. And then early on in this game, you see Parise score that second line for Colorado, and that second line carried it through in the third period as well for them. Arturi Lehkonen has been amazing in this series for the Colorado Avalanche. And you can't really say the same about any of the three players on the Jets' second line. So they're winning that matchup right now. And when you win the depth matchup, you win the second line matchup, and you have Nathan MacKinnon and Cale Makar, like, that's an easy path to victory for the Avalanche. That's what you saw on this night. And it's in large part due to their second line being better than the Jets' second line. And it proved true in the first period early on in this one.
Yeah, and the Avs just have this top-end talent, where it was so difficult at times for the Jets just to get out of their own end. It was difficult for them to get into the Avs end. I thought they had a lot of trouble generating stuff for the majority of that first period. They did have flashes, as I said, the first half and the last bit. The shots were 12-9, and I thought as we got into the second period, they were throwing more pucks on net. They did get outshot 16-10 in the second period, but Nino's came down early on. Had a high shot. They came out really strong, I thought, in the second. Connor had a shot on goal. But then, I thought the Avs came, and there was one section there in that segment where the Jets' fourth line was out for a long time against the Avs' top guys. And every time their top guys are on ice, it's just so dangerous. But, hey, we talked about the Jets' second line, and, they needed to get on board. There are a lot of questions. Tyler Toffoli had to face the media yesterday, and he was the one who scored. Started with an odd man rush, and Dylan DeMello took a couple shots on net, and Tyler Toffoli, he takes a shot from, the dot, it gets blocked, takes it on net, and flubs the backhand and goes in. Not sure what you saw on that goal from Tyler Toffoli.
I saw Alexander Georgiev, the bad side of Alexander Georgiev. I mean, to give the second line credit, an actually good shift from them, and that's been few and far between so far in this series, and they did control the puck, but you can't really bank on that being sustainable over the course of these next couple games here. The second line on the score sheet, they'll take it for sure, maybe a little boost of confidence going forward, but yeah, you backhand it from basically the goal line, and the length of the puck is where the puck rolls in on the side of the net. It's like, okay, well, that's a goal. It counts for one. And when the Jets at the moment, they tied the game, maybe they shouldn't have been in a tie game at that point. But like you said, they came out in the second period with some jump. They got lucky. It was a tie game. And at that point, you just take it. And the second line, especially, they would take it and run because they've been struggling this series.
Yeah, and Connor Hellebuck, I mean, he was playing very strong all game, at least until this point. You know, Miko Rantanen, I mean, he was looking big. Byrne Morrissey, and, you know, tried to go five hole on Hellebuck, closed the door. And then really back and forth to Mello, found Niederreiter just through the middle. And he throws it on net going wide, and Monahan couldn't quite get a stick on it. And then, you know, the first line had a ton of pressure there. And Scheifele's pass around, Monahan had another chance in the middle. He kind of whiffed on it. And then, you know, there's, you know, who is Scheifele, who got hooked by Mittelstadt. And I thought that was a call. I mean, he got a stick in his midsection. And the Jets, you know, get their first power play, you know, because the first line was, you know, was just out for there for a while. You know, the second unit started, and the first unit went back on for the final minute, and they had some passing and set up Josh Morrissey for his second goal of the series. What'd you see on the Jets power play there that led to, you know, the 2-1 lead there?
Yeah, the second unit started and they really struggled just to set up, and then the Avs dumped the puck in and they struggled to enter the zone as well. The Sportsnet broadcast brought it up, but the Jets run that double drop where the two forwards are coming at the same time up the middle. And when you kind of stop at the blue line and dump that puck in, it's really easy for the penalty kill to then clear the puck. I saw that a few times from the second unit. But then, like you said, the top unit hopped in, got set up in the zone, and Gabriel Vilardi with a perfect screen. Georgiev couldn't see a thing. Josh Morrissey ripped it. His second of the series, like you said, Jets took a 2-1 lead. And at that point, they were between the Toffoli goal and the Morrissey goal. And the next couple minutes before the Avalanche really turned it back on and never looked back, I thought the Jets were playing some of their best hockey of the series. They were controlling play. I'm sure we'll talk about it in a second here, but Toffoli had a breakaway. He got denied on. Like, I think this stretch was really, really good from the Jets. And you could feel good about their 2-1 lead, especially with how well Connor Hellebuck was playing at the time. And yeah, it all started with that power play goal, a rocket from Morrissey. And clearly things from here on out got a little dark.
Yeah. I mean, the Jets were, as you said, they were keeping pace with the Avs. Shots were even 17-7 or 17-17 halfway through the second period. Tyler Toffoli just, I don't know how, he ended up on a breakaway, made a great move. And was robbed by Georgiev. And then MacKinnon, he went down the ice, and Hellebuck, you know, had his pad steady against the post and kept it out. And Hellebuck, no, that's the difference between Hellebuck. He doesn't let in bad goals like the ones Georgiev let in earlier to Toffoli. Like, you're not going to see that from Connor Hellebuck. Maybe one or two goals all season. We're like, man, he should have really had that. And he was standing tall, and you thought, you know, thought he knew him. But the thing about the Jets is the way they're playing, they're playing like against the Avs. Like, they need Hellebuck to stand on his head and steal a game. They're allowing a ton of shots, you know, overall throughout the series, not generating a ton of chances and becoming really reliant on their goalie, which you can do to win a short series. It's certainly tough. And it gets tough when, you know, you start taking penalties and are shorthanded a lot. Adam Lowry gets called for a penalty. I thought this one was pretty questionable. You know, I guess because the Jets got a power play, the Avs were due for a power play too. We kind of have seen that, I think, throughout the series, some clear game management. I mean, what he got is he's battling for a puck with MacKinnon and put his stick on top. I thought it was kind of a weak call, but, like, sure. And, you know, they hadn't really called a ton all game to this point, but I don't know what you thought. I don't want to get too much into the officiating because the Jets were, they were severely outplayed, but it was an even game. And, you know, some things get called and some things don't. And I think this was one that did get called. So I don't know where you stood on this one.
Yeah, that one was a little ticky-tack. And at the time, it felt game management-y, if that's the way you want to put it. Like, the Jets just got a power play and scored. So it felt like the Avs were going to get the next one. And it came pretty quick. Like, they just called it right away. And then in the third period, we'll get into all those calls. But the Avs were dominating this game from really the final 5 minutes of the second period. I swear they were in the Jets' end the whole time for those final 5 minutes. Somehow the Jets escaped out of that mess. Connor Hellebuck stood on his head. They took a 2-1 lead into the third, and then everything just unraveled. But this call in a vacuum, a little game management, give the Avs a power play. But the Jets killed it off, and their kill looked pretty good on this one.
Yeah, the Jazz killed off Mikko Rantanen, I think, had their best chance time or a big shot from the side of the net. And Hellebuck, he was dialed in. Yeah, he was saving everything. I saw Jesse Paul, Hellebuck's looking like Connor Hellebuck. Sean Reynolds tweeting out, Hellebuck is dialed in tonight. And you knew that he wasn't going to play, wasn't going to let five goals a game in for the whole series. Unfortunately, he let in another five. But I don't think you can really blame him on some of these. And yeah, they did kill the penalty. And then, you know, at the end of the period, that Oilers line got stuck in for a while. They really had trouble getting it out of their own end. And then look, it was the end of the period's winding down. And that play, you know, they're trying to get it out, and Nemestikov, I thought, clearly interfered with going for a puck.
Yeah.
Pionk at the end of the period, I thought he was, you know, there's a loose puck in the corner and the Avs guy is just going right for Pionk, maybe borderline headshot. So, you know, they really weren't calling anything after calling those first two. And you're like, okay, I guess it's prison rules here. And even Mike McIntyre noted on Twitter, or X, formerly known as Twitter, that, you know, they really haven't called anything after calling first two. But hey, if you're the Jets, as you said, you know, heading into the third period, they were outshot 17-10 in the second period. But heading to third, you're still up 2-1. You got to be feeling, you know, pretty good about your game, and that Connor Hellebuck can kind of try to steal you one here.
Yeah. Up until that point, I think the Jets were, it was more even than maybe the shots on goal really let up to be. The final 5 minutes, like I said, was all Avalanche. The Hellebuck stood on his head and kept it a 2-1 lead. But up until that final 5 minutes, I thought the Jets were playing great, playing a good road game. As Josh Morrissey said in the post game, he thought that that's what happened in the first 40 minutes. And then the third period came, and yeah, we'll get into it here. Yeah. But the first 40 minutes, I think, is what you want to replicate going into game four. Connor Hellebuck was great. You don't want to rely on him too much. That's what they did in the third period. And I think a lot of what you did in the first 40 minutes can be replicated in game four. Maybe, like I said, a little bit less reliance on Hellebuck, but that showed up in the third period in a big way.
Yeah, we just haven't seen that Jets team for a full 60 minutes. There's been flashes in games where they've been able to hang on and kind of slow down Colorado, but I mean, they're getting 40 shots a game, and it's going to be tough to win when you're getting outshot every game. You know, they're coming down, and it's going to be tough to win when you're taking penalties. I know the two, you know, Jets fans are going to be upset about. I thought it was clear interference on Nemestikov, clear on Pionk, Scheifele, you know, what, on the delay penalty, Sam Girard like cross checks him while he's down. And it could have been a 5-on-3, but everyone knows in the playoffs, you're not allowed to have two consecutive penalties called on you unless you're the Winnipeg Jets, or unless you take those penalties that are so obvious that you have to call, like puck over glass and high sticking. And this is when it started, the third period. It did feel like, hey, you know, they want to go into this defensive shell and just let Hellebuck try to save. And that's tough to do against the Avs. I thought Nito Niederreiter had a really nice game up until this point. You know, he had DeMello has a shot, Nino's in front, and on the ensuing faceoff, Lowry wins the faceoff. The puck's on his way to Mason Appleton. He tries to one-time it. The Colorado player deflects it, and on the follow-through, the guy gets tripped. And this was kind of just the beginning of the end here for the Winnipeg Jets.
Yeah. Yeah, and this one, like, it looks bad because Mason Appleton is just so clearly taking a slap shot, but it's a trip. Like, I don't know what you thought about it. Like, he did trip him. Like, he's shooting, but he tripped him. Yeah.
It's just like they hadn't really called anything. It wasn't like he was making a defensive play. You know, usually it's it was like he was trying to go for the one-timer and it was a follow-through. And, like, yeah, that's tripping. But, you know,
I think it's the optics. I think it's the optics of it. Like, he wins a faceoff and he goes to shoot and he trips Miles Wood, who's like breaking out of the zone. And like, there's no one around him. So when you see Miles Wood just like fall flat in his face, and it's just like, well, yeah, that, you got to call that. Like, I don't know.
Like, I agree, you have to call it. Yeah. But I mean, there's been some pretty clear stuff that Colorado did that didn't get called. So you're like, come on, like, what are the Jets supposed to do here? to draw a penalty. And I mean, their power play is incredible. I mean, they've got world-class players, the top guys in the league, McKinnon, Makar Rantanen. They're passing it around. McKinnon takes a shot from the point, goes in. There's like Lehkonen and Lehkonen and Nikushkin are in front. I mean, there's defenders. You can't even see anything. And it was almost like a shot that was like diving down and goes through the legs. I mean, that's just a tough one for any goalie to save there. And it's 2-2.
Yeah, it's a tough one. And like Connor Hellebuck's bailed you out so much to this point, and you take this penalty. And yeah, there's like three guys between Hellebuck and McKinnon taking the shot in his direct line of sight. I don't even think he saw McKinnon shoot the puck. That's how good of a screen it was by the Avalanche players, and maybe a little bit of aid from the Jets players as well there in screening Hellebuck, screening their own goalie. But yeah, the Avalanche's power play, like the Jets killed that one off earlier. You can only hold them down for so long. And in this third period, they just let them run rampant and this was the start of it. This was a tie game. You thought, okay, penalty, it's 2-2. It's 0-0 again for the next 18 minutes or whatever. But that was definitely not the case.
Yeah, and they were still in it. I mean, it was 2-2. Like, oh, that's a tough break. But yet another tough break, you know, into the offensive zone. Kyle Connor, he got tripped there. And Vilardi's going in. And his stick gets up on Devontaeves, who's bleeding. You know, the second time, the series, the Jets player's stick has gone up on a Colorado defender's face. 4 minute penalty. Like, there's nothing they can do. You know, they have to call it. But, you know, when you manage the game and, like, don't call stuff, you know, it's frustrating. I don't know. It's frustrating when you're watching and you see Colorado, you know, take penalties and they don't get called. And then, like, they have, I guess the Jets, they just shouldn't have taken such obvious penalties. They should have been more subtle. Yeah. I don't know what you saw.
Should have been more subtle.
I don't know what you saw in this one.
This one is a wild swing. I think, for me, like many people watching, you're watching the Jets come down the ice. You see Kyle Connor get tripped and you're like thinking to yourself, oh, that's tripping. And then they don't call that. So immediately, if you think the Mason Appleton one was ticky-tack and they weren't calling things earlier in the period, and you see Kyle Connor get tripped and there's no call, then you're frustrated. And then the play gets blown dead because there's an Avalanche player hurt. Okay, yeah, blow the play dead. And then after review, after talking about it, the Jets get a double minor out of all of that. That's just like a wild momentum swing from, like we said, even slate, 0-0 for the next 18 minutes. And then Kyle Connor gets tripped and your first reaction is, oh, penalty. The Jets should be getting a power play there. They don't. And then Vilardi does high stick. I'm like, that should have been called, but they missed it in the moment. So as a fan, you didn't see it. You didn't see Vilardi high stick him. So it wasn't obvious. But what was obvious was Kyle Connor getting tripped with the puck. But that, like, it's just a bunch of optics around that. Like, you didn't see Vilardi high stick Taves, but he definitely did. And that was the right call. And it cost the Jets. And then, score again.
They got a 4 minute penalty. I mean, Hellebuck stood on his head
As
much as he could. Yeah. I mean, they're passing it around. Like, look at these guys that they have. And Nikushkin ends up scoring, and it's 3-2. And like the wheels, you know, if they hadn't already, it's hard to say they fell off in a one goal game, but it flipped so quickly. And it was almost a lot like game two in that second period where you thought, okay, the Jets are going to win. They're carrying play. They just killed off this penalty. You know, Connor hits the post and they go back and score. And this one, you know, they're winning 2-1. You know, it's, I don't know, fluke penalty by Appleton, and then you take another 4 minute penalty. It's just tough to watch when you feel like the Jets aren't getting a fair shake at certain things. But you know, Morrissey said after, he's like, I'm not gonna complain or talk, you gotta go out and play. And Rick Bonus, you know, he's not gonna speak to any of it. But it's certainly, it's certainly frustrating when feel like the ice is a little tilted, and it already is tilted for the Avs, just the way that they're playing. So the Jets kind of need everything to go perfectly if they want to win, and it just didn't go that way there with the Vilardi,
opposite.
So I don't know, do you want to go over this Nikushkin?
What was the next goal after? Avs 4-2 goal?
So that was the second power play goal. So, I mean, they're two for three at this point on the power play. The next one was, you know, they're trying to get back in. Shafley goes to keep the puck in at the blue line, you know, makes a move to the middle instead of maybe going wide or getting it deep, and gets stolen. DeMello's trying to back check, stumbles, odd man rush. And in the back, then it's Lehkonen's third of the playoffs from Mittelstadt and Taves. And again, that second line for the Avs has been much better than the second line for the Jets.
Absolutely. And this goal to me felt like you could talk about the wild swing that I just talked about and the fact that the Avs went up 3-2. And then at that point, even it's still a one goal game. You know, it's not over completely. You still have, 15, 14 minutes to score a goal at that point, theoretically. And then, Mark Scheifele, how many times has Rick Bowness this season talked about puck management? And he's at the blue line. He doesn't have options. Instead of getting it deep, like you said, or hitting a cutting Nate Schmidt who was going through the middle of the ice, and you could just float it down to him, and he could hit a guy on the boards, and the puck would just at least be deep. Near the end of a shift, he makes a move to the middle, loses it, and the Avs go back down 2-on-1. DeMello trips, but he's still kind of in position to make the play, doesn't, and then Hellebuck sells out for the shooter, but the Avs are still able to make the pass anyways. And when you sell out to the shot on a 2-on-1 and they're still able to make the pass, that's going to go in the back of the net every time. And Arturi Lehkonen, he's been fantastic for the Avs in this series. But this goal to me felt like the backbreaker, the dagger. Mm-hmm. It was over at that point. Just felt like it running through my mind all season long was just every single time Rick Bowness has mentioned puck management. And then you see Scheifele dance to the middle there, lose it, and then the Jets go down 4-2. And that just felt like curtains, game over.
Yeah, and Scheifele, you know, to his credit, I think he's been one of the Jets' best players in the series. I mean, when he's on the ice, it seems like he's threat to score, and you can't say that about a lot of Jets this series. Kyle Connor too. We can mention guys, but he's been pretty good, and that was kind of the game. They took another penalty, like David Gustafson got called for tripping. Sure, I mean, I thought they could have let that one go. Give the Jets a break, and it was just after the power play, Ross Colton goes to the middle. He tips a puck in from the high slot, and I mean, that's just a tough play. Like these are world-class goals. I don't think, you know, for anyone out there who's saying, Hellebuck stinks in the playoffs, or you got to take Hellebuck out for game four. I mean, there's absolutely no way. The guys in front let him down. They're getting outshot, getting outplayed. If he wasn't in there, this would have been much worse. So I'm going to have a message for anyone who thinks Hellebuck is the problem, because you're going to look at his goals against average, which I don't know, what is it, 5? It's not good.
Just over.
And that looks terrible. But if you watch the game, I think there's parts of this game two where he stood on his head and kept the team in it, but you can only do that for so long.
Absolutely. And even at the time where the Jets were up 2-1, and I said that part is sustainable, having the better goaltender in that spurt is also a sustainable part of going forward in the series, starting as early as game four. Mm-hmm. But it's a narrow lead at that point. It's 2-1 because the Jets were still getting outplayed for the first 40 minutes. Like, I don't think they were the better team in the first 40 minutes, but their goaltending, their ability for the second line to get a lucky one, their power play converting, like those are things that you can take forward and say, well, in game four, our power play could score twice. Hellebuck could have a great game and we'll win that way. That's something that could happen. If you think Lauren Brossoit should start game four, you think this game was Connor Hellebuck's fault, I just don't think you watched, because the third period, the Jets imploded in front of them. They took 5 straight penalties, whether you agree with them or not, they happened. And I'd say 4 of them at least were legitimate penalties that needed to be called. And Connor Hellebuck can only do so much. And when the penalty kill, they have a double minor and they're in the zone for 2.5 minutes, just firing away high danger chances. Like, at what point is it the penalty kill? At what point is it the undisciplined nature of the Jets taking 5 straight penalties in a playoff game? Those are the more concerning aspects to me. And I have no doubts that Connor Hellebuck should start game 4. He's going to win the Vezina. He was the reason they were winning this game. And he's not the reason that they lost this game and imploded in the third period.
I do wonder about an alternate universe. You know, I'm watching the broadcast like, oh, the Jets took all these undisciplined penalties in the third period and the Avs got all the momentum. But what if they actually called the game as it should have been called? And You know, then it's the Avs taking undisciplined penalties like the interference on Nemeskov, interference on Pionk, or cross-checking Shafley while he's down, or the trip on Kyle Connor. And the Jets, you know, have an actual opportunity to go on the power play because I think the Avs took penalties. They didn't call it, and the penalties the Jets took, like the puck over glass or high-sticking a guy and he's bleeding, like they have to call that. But I guess when you're managing the game to not have any penalties at all, it's going to kind of bite you when obvious stuff happens and you're forced into making calls and you haven't called anything all game. And I think you saw the frustration on the ice from the Jets as it went on. You know, totally. they did get a gift, you know, power play, you know, yay for them.
There you go.
Yeah. Ranton and holding the stick, which I thought was like clearly
terrible call, like absolutely awful call, game management, all the above, yeah. Checked all the boxes. Like this was not a penalty.
So, and then they score on the empty net, the Avs, who's at Devon Taves. And then it got kind of crazy. And Lowry's dropping the gloves with Miles Wood, and pretty scary moment for the Jets. And we don't know what it means. They didn't have any updates after the game, but Brandon Dillon got cut. I'm not really sure where, while he's on with the ice with Brandon Duhame, and there's just blood everywhere. It looked like a UFC mat. The ice. It's I don't gross. Know what you thought about the end there.
Yeah. Yeah. That was scary. And I don't know. I always have this feeling that, or not this feeling, but like this worry that things like this will happen in scrums. Like what if a guy just gets stepped on? And that's what clearly happened here. And when looking at the replay, it was more his hand, like right here.
Yeah.
If you're on YouTube checking it out, it's more that area. And I don't know, it's scary nonetheless. There was blood all over the ice, blood all over Duhame's jersey. The ref was clearly like, Duhame couldn't see Dillon's hand. I don't know, the adrenaline, maybe Dillon couldn't feel it or anything. The ref was clearly saying to Duhame, like, dude, you got to let go. Like, this guy's bleeding. He's got to get off the ice. And yeah, no update, but a cut that deep on his strong hand. He's a left-handed defenseman. It's his left hand. You'd have to think that he's going to miss some time in this series. And we'll see. We'll see. Game 4 is Sunday at 1:30 p.m. Central Time. So a quick turnaround to game 4. Hopefully he's okay. He's been an absolute horse for the Jets all season long on that second pairing. And a pending UFA, it would suck to see kind of his last shift or last moment as a Jet be his hand getting cut and being injured in such a fluky way. So hoping for the best for Brendan Dillon and hope he's able to be in the lineup on Sunday because the Jets will really need him.
Yeah, I'll have to see if they go with any line changes. And yeah, the Jets, you know, outplayed, probably deserved to lose, but would have been nice to see them get some opportunities to try to grab the momentum with the power plays they earned. I'm just going to read it. Jim Toth saying these are fair and warranted penalties the Jets are taking. No problem with them being called. But then you have to call the cross check on Shafley, interference on Nemestikov. You know, the inconsistency of the non-calls is ridiculous. And I don't want to be here bitching about officiating. Like, you know, if Jets are going to lose, like, let them lose in fair fashion. It feels like, I don't know, it feels like, if I want to make a WWE reference, it feels like the Bloodline coming in and helping out Roman Reigns like they do every time. Anyways, I'll shut up on that.
I do want to wrap that, though, real quick, because I like the officiating. We've talked about it a bunch, but I think we should make it clear that the Jets were definitely the second best team in this game. Like,
no doubt.
Even that when they were winning, and Scott Billick tweeted that out, like a call here and there is not going to change the fact that if we're being honest, the Jets have been the third best team in all three games of this series. Like, yes, they won 7-6 in game one, but Georgiev had a few really bad goals in that game. And the issues are definitely internal for the Jets, because you can't point to officiating. Yes, you can say it wasn't consistent, and that is true. But at the same time, the Jets were the second best team for, I'd say, all three periods in this. Maybe the second period is a little bit more even, a little bit in the Jets' favor. Mm-hmm. But the first 20 and the last 20, easily in the Avs' favor. The first three games as a whole, easily in the Avs' favor. The Jets are honestly lucky to be down 2-1 and not 3-0 at this point. So they're going to have to make some changes, make some stylistic changes going into game 4, because the team in front of Connor Hellebuyck is doing him a disservice right now, honestly, with how many chances they're giving up.
Yeah, we'll see how they adjust. I mean, their style has been to try to limit, you know, play defensive, totally, limit Colorado. Yeah. They can't do that, and they're not generating a ton offensively. So they're in a really tough spot. I don't know if we're going to see any lineup changes. I'm assuming Dillon I mean, Dylan will probably be the one. Will they make any changes on forward? Does Cole Perfetti get in at all? We'll have to wait and see on that. But yeah, I mean, they're not out of it. It's 2-1. Definitely a tough one. You know, they've played tight for, you know, parts of games for the last two, just can't put together the full 60.
Totally. And I will say, I was texting some people and getting some messages from Jets fans. This one, it kind of feels like the series isn't over. They could win Sunday. Mm-hmm. It'd be an even series, but it feels not great. And for the reasons I mentioned, like, they could easily be down 3-0. They won game one, 7-6. And like, if you look at the chances and you look at the expected goals in that game, they definitely should have lost analytically. They capitalized on their chances. The Avs weren't great defensively. But it looks like the Avs have fixed their issues in that they've cleaned up their defensive structure a little bit, and the Jets haven't. They haven't bolstered down their defensive structure. They haven't generated enough offense to make the goaltending advantage that they have a difference. Like, Georgiev didn't have to make too many tough saves, especially in the third period. I don't even think he had to make a save in the third period. Like, it was just all Colorado.
Well, I mean, they were killing a penalty for half, exactly, for half the period. So, I mean, again, I wonder what the put in an alternate universe where they call the actual penalties that happened in the second. Does this game look like? How does it change? But that's not what happened. The Jets took they did take legitimate penalties. They got called, and Colorado's, you know, world class power play tore them apart. So we'll see.
Yeah,
we'll see what happened. We'll see what happens here going. But it's definitely not over. But, you know, that's a frustrating one. That's funny. We always like to look at the money puck deserve to win. They have money puck deserve to win o-meter. They have the Jets 46.2%, which feels high to me.
After the first two periods, it was in the Jets' favor. I think I checked and it was something like 65, 70. Like, they were playing well. And then I don't know if money puck, if that's all situations. I think it is, actually, which would include all of the Avalanche's power plays. I don't know if that's just 5-on-5 or if it's all the power plays included.
I think it's just for the game,
Just for the game entirely. Okay, then maybe this game was a lot closer than we thought. Obviously, on the heels of that third period, it's hard to say that. Mm-hmm. But there is some hope going into Sunday as well. Like, I don't want to be all doom and gloom and say that this series is over. But the Jets can totally return to their defensive structure, maybe a lineup tweak here and there. The second line starts clicking. The top line really was great in game one. Maybe they refine that magic. Connor Hellebuyck played a really strong first 40 minutes, and the last 20 wasn't his fault. So you don't really have any concerns there in terms of him kind of repeating that first 20 minutes, as long as the team doesn't give up five straight penalty kills in front of him. So there is hope going into Sunday, and I think it's a huge game because you can't be down 3-1. You got to win one of these games in Colorado and not have an elimination game here in Winnipeg in game five.
Yeah, that's absolutely right, Connor. So we will see what happens Sunday afternoon. We'll have the late pod after. We went way longer than anticipated here, but lots to get to, you know, a lot of penalties to dissect, and goals against as well in the third period. But Connor, thanks for staying up late. It's past 1 a.m. here. Time to load this onto the YouTube channel. And if you made it this far, hit the thumbs up, hit the subscribe button. We're live here Monday to Friday, 1 o'clock Central. Follow us on all the social medias, link in the description. Also on podcast, in the description, down below. And what did you think of the game as well? Leave a comment. Love to read them. Love to hear them. Connor, thank you so much for hanging out here with me on a Friday night. Nothing more we'd love doing than talking about playoff hockey here, right, Connor?
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it. And I can't wait to run it back on Sunday. And I hope we have a win to talk about.
would be great. Well, thanks, everyone, for tuning in. Nice. We'll see you guys on Sunday. Bye-bye.